I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You raised your hand when asked whether or not the border should be decriminalized. Do you still believe that?
I believe there should be consequences. We have laws that have to be followed and enforced that address and deal with people who cross our border illegally, and there should be consequences. And let's be clear, in this race, I'm the only person who has prosecuted transnational criminal organizations who traffic in guns, drugs, and human beings. I'm the only person in this race who actually served a border state as attorney general to enforce our laws. And I would enforce our laws as president going forward. I recognize the problem.
No, you don't. And you lied. You just told a direct lie. I believe we should enforce our border. We should prosecute people that do not follow our law. We have laws. But you have erased the border, basically. You're not enforcing it, and you don't have any plans to. They want to put everything on the table as an immigration package, and that means basically they would allow at least 5,000 illegals still to come into our country every day, although they wouldn't be considered illegal at that point if we were saying up to 5,000 can come in a day. You want to multiply that out? That was part of the interview with CNN's Dana Bash last night as VP Harris, now the Democrat nominee for president, was sitting in a cafe being interviewed by her as Harris had her support animal beside her to comfort her, rescue her if necessary, nudge her if needed. That, of course, her VP, Tim Walz. He also got some questions, which we're going to deal with before we wrap up this hour. But let's just talk about the interview itself when we break it down. But let's begin by setting the stage for you again. Larry Connors USA is here for you from 6 to 8, Monday through Friday, every Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 on News Talk STL. Here we are, Friday, August 30, 2024. And when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the video by going to News Talk STL Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Larry Connors USA Rumble, Facebook, and everything goes up later as a podcast at News Talk STL, Larry Connors USA Facebook, LarryConnorsUSA.com, and all the other podcast forms that exist out there. You simply type in on your favorite podcast outlet, Larry Connors USA, it should be there. If it's not, shame on them. Or are they part of the Mark Zuckerberg group blocking any conservative outlets, shutting them down, trying to anyway? So listen, this interview last night, much anticipated, but it's already been kind of put aside even by members of CNN. Their Newsnight host, Abby Phillips, said Harris did not explain her position on immigration fully. She said, you don't believe it's a crime to cross the border if you're doing so illegally. Our position now is we should enforce the laws. She doesn't explain exactly what I raised for you a moment ago. If you're saying you can't come across the border because it would be illegal, and we should enforce the laws, but you're not doing it. And even CNN senior political commentator and former Obama advisor David Axelrod said, well, back then she was taking advice from political advisors. Now she's, of course, running on her own and shifting values on not only this, but numerous other events. And he said, I don't think she fully explained it. Part of it is what I discussed in the first hour about Dana Bash firing for effect. She fires a question. We all wanted questions like that asked, but she didn't follow up. And I'm not saying you go in for the kill, but you go in to make it clear exactly what are you saying, exactly what do you agree and disagree with today. It could change tomorrow, but where do you stand now? And again, this was a videotaped interview. It was not done live. You might have seen on the screen, if you were watching, live pop up a couple of times. If it's videotaped, it's not live. Period. I don't know. Maybe someone made a mistake and put it up. Didn't mean to, you think? Possible. Bottom line is, did it really make any difference? It does, to the extent that if it were videotaped, which we know it was, they could have made changes, slicing and dicing. Well, maybe just for time content. Or then again, because word salad began to come out of Harris. And the visual setup was, I mean, it was almost frightening. You got Dana Bash at one end of a table, frail little thing she is. Then she's got, at the center of the table, Kamala Harris, although she's a little closer to this big imposing giant, her comfort animal, VP Walz. And it was overpowering. She looked insignificant. And she's the one running for president, not him. The other thing about interviews like this, many of you will remember Barbara Walters, Barbara Wawa, doing interviews. Everybody praised her, and you watched the interviews on the network. They were all great. They really were. But I'd also watched her do live interviews when she would do it maybe on the Today Show or something of that nature where it's live. She was not that good of an interviewer. I'm not trying to put her down, but she was not as good as she looked once the tape was edited and cleaned up a little bit. Are there interviews that I've done that, yeah, if I could have done them on tape, I could have changed it, made myself look a little bit better, a little bit more intelligent than maybe I appeared because it was a live event? Yeah. But if you're changing something, not to make yourself, in this case, you shouldn't be trying to make the candidate look better, but if you're changing it also and it changes context, you do not edit. You do not edit. You do not edit. So once again, back to Harris and the border issue.
During the Biden-Harris administration, there were record numbers of illegal border crossings. Why did the Biden-Harris administration wait 3.5 years to implement sweeping asylum restrictions?
Well, first of all, the root causes work that I did as vice president, that I was asked to do by the president, has actually resulted in a number of benefits, including historic investments by American businesses in that region. The number of immigrants coming from that region has actually reduced since we began that work. But I will say this, that Joe Biden and I and our administration worked with members of the United States Congress on an immigration issue that is very significant to the American people and to our security, which is the border. And through bipartisan work, including some of the most conservative members of the United States Congress, a bill was crafted, which we supported, which I support. And Donald Trump got word of this bill that would have contributed to securing our border. And because he believes that it would not have helped him politically, he told his folks in Congress, don't put it forward. He killed the bill. A border security bill that would have put 1,500 more agents on the border. And let me tell you something. The Border Patrol endorsed the bill. And I'm sure in large part because they knew they were working around the clock and 1,500 more agents would help them.
The Border Patrol might have endorsed that fact that, yeah, give us more agents because we're overworked. And Trump doesn't have the authority to kill a bill. He's not in Congress. And I have another. Was she almost crying during that? Like one of our favorite things? He killed. I mean, we had it all worked out, and he didn't let it happen. I'm telling you, that's what I was hearing. I leave it for your perception. Then, of course, we have all our flip-flopping that's been going on back and forth and everything, which included fracking.
In 2019, you said, quote, there is no question I'm in favor of banning fracking. Fracking, as you know, is a pretty big issue, sure, particularly in your must-win state of Pennsylvania.
Sure.
Do you still want to ban fracking?
No, and I made that clear on the debate stage in 2020, that I would not ban fracking. As vice president, I did not ban fracking. As president, I will not ban fracking.
In 2019, I believe, in a town hall, you said, you were asked, would you commit to implementing a federal ban on fracking on your first day in office? And you said, there's no question I'm in favor of banning fracking. So, yes. So it changed in that campaign?
In 2020, I made very clear where I stand. We are in 2024, and I've not changed that position, nor will I going forward.
No, going forward, I wouldn't trust a word out of the woman's mouth about what her position will be 5 minutes from now, much less 5 months from now. Dana did raise another question, which I thought was interesting, and I kind of wanted to know as well about, she had always claimed that Biden had reached out and told her that he was not going to run. Well, let's deal with that.
I'm just curious, staying on President Biden, when he called you and said he was pulling out of the race, mm-hmm, what was that like? And did he offer to endorse you right away, or did you ask for it?
It was a Sunday. So here, I'll give you a little too much information.
Go for it. There's no such thing, Madam Vice President.
My family was staying with us, and including my baby nieces, and we had just had pancakes, and, you know, Auntie, can I have more bacon? Yes, I'll make you more bacon. And then we were gonna sit, we were sitting down to do a puzzle, and the phone rang, and it was Joe Biden, and he told me what he had decided to do, and I asked him, are you sure? And he said, yes.
Well, we did get a little bit more information we needed, pancakes, nieces, and everything. All right, it gives you the setting. We're just enjoying our time. I had no idea this call was coming. But there's something else that needed to be asked, and to her credit, Dana did. About the endorsement possibility.
I asked him, are you sure? And he said, yes. And and that's how I learned about it.
And what about the endorsement? Did you ask for it?
He was very clear that he was going to support me.
So when he called to tell you, he said, I'm pulling out of the race and I'm going to support you.
Well, my first thought was not about me, to be honest with you. My first thought was about him.
Really? Really? You want to buy that? I don't. I do not. I think she was giddy with joy. Oh, thank you, Joe. I hope you're okay. Bye. Of course, I don't know. Larry, you're mocking her and you have no idea, do you? You're right. You're right. I'm doing both. But for her to say, my first thought and concern was about him. That I do not buy from a woman who has worked her way up as she has to the position she currently has and is trying to achieve. I want to deal more with the setting that took place as to how this event was staged last night, and I'm talking about how they were appearing on screen, and it's getting some really wicked, nasty remarks from the general public, and they're not all just Republicans. We'll get to that a little bit later. Dana did question Walz about his, quote, stolen valor, but not effectively. And his answer is, well, again, that'll be part of what we finish before the end of the hour. In the meantime, Donald Trump is warning of a major economic threat from China.
You know, they're building, I don't know if you know, numerous of the biggest auto plants in the world right now.
In Mexico.
Right near the border in Mexico, owned by China. They think they're going to build the cars and send them in, and with this administration, they won't even know what's happening. They'll take every single job. You're not going to have any auto workers within 2 years, maybe 3 years. Nobody's going to be making cars here. I told them, if you do that, we're going to put tariffs on at 200, 250%. You're never going to sell one car in this country. and they didn't build them. As soon as I was gone, they started construction, and they're almost finished, and that's going to wipe you out. They're the biggest plants anywhere in the world, and we're not going to let it happen. We're not going to. They can build their plant. They're not going to have any cars coming into this country. If they want to build a plant, they can. They're going to build it in Michigan or at least someplace in our country.
Yeah. If they want to build Chinese cars to be sold in America, they're not going to be able to do it just south of our border. They're going to have to do it in our nation. We do have the fact that Chinese car brands are missing from the U.S. market, but Chinese-made cars are still sold in the U.S. In fact, in 2023, Americans bought 104,000 Chinese-made cars, nearly 28,000 the first quarter of this year. Buick, Lincoln, Polestar, and Volvo all sell cars in the U.S. made in China. Maybe you didn't know that. The other thing this administration thinks will get things back on track, Bidenomics is working, as Harris has said, but when I get in, I'm going to make things better. Well, if it's working, why would you mess it with it? If it's working, it doesn't need to be changed. But that's where she came up with the idea of price controls. Trump says, bad idea.
So that's a communist plan. It's never worked. And it's been tried by others. Believe it or not, Richard Nixon tried it. A lot of people tried it. It's been tried many times, and it always leads to the same failure. Tremendous inflation, lack of product. You don't have anything. The stores are not stocked. It has never worked. It's called control. They want control. And, it's been so often. And everybody that comes in, they say it. It sort of sounds great. We're going to go price control. Actually, when she announced it, she got absolutely slaughtered by even Democrats because it doesn't work. It's a known loser.
It is a known loser. And even if Democrats are calling her out, it's a bad plan. I mentioned a moment ago about all the cars that are being sold in the U.S. that are actually made in China, as it is right now. I mentioned Buick, Lincoln, Polestar, Volvo. Now, many immediately will say, no, Volvo, that's all headquartered in Sweden. And that is correct. Volvo Cars is headquartered in Sweden. But Geely Automotive, or Automobile, actually is building them. So Volvo is owned, actually, by Geely Automobile, a major automotive brand based in China. With all the flip-flopping Kamala's been doing, Trump said maybe we've got a gift for her.
So Kamala was for defunding the police. She was for open borders. She was for everything that you're not against. I could go through 14 different. She's changed on every single one of them. In fact, I think we should see the man in the red hat and the beautiful woman in the red hat says, make America great again. Perhaps we should give Kamala a make America great again hat, right?
I'm just waiting for some AI group putting something together with Kamala wearing a make America great again hat. I love it. And we should want to make America great again. They want to make it a slur and a slander. Coming up, kids playing football and head injuries. Dr. Rick Lehman on that. I think you'll want to hear this. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Question, do you know what vermiculite is? It is an insulation in the attics of hundreds of thousands of homes and public buildings. Looks like kitty litter, but often contains asbestos. Wellington Environmental is the largest company in the Midwest that can remove that hazard for you. Wellington has what is called the General, a powerful industrial vacuum that can suck vermiculite out of the attic. Hang on, there's something else you should know. Many of you might qualify for up to a $4,000 rebate. You should at least contact Wellington to see if you qualify. And here's something else. Wellington arrives at the time they give you, not sometime within 4 hours. 314-644-4930. 844-493-0. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
You guys are awesome. I love you. And really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local angle.
Come on, people. This is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local? Really good.
News Talk STL at 1019 941
and NewsTalkSTL.com.
I want you to know that Meguiar Moving and Storage is silver certified, which means Meguiar has a quality reputation helping older adults move local or long distance. And something else to know, Josh Meguiar, president of Meguiar Moving and Storage, is the only certified moving consultant in Missouri. I'll tell you, once you met Josh, you're going to know your move will be easy. And I fully endorse Meguiar Moving and Storage. MeguiarMoving.com.
My name is Todd Showalter, and I'm announcing the Right Mind Show is officially running Saturday nights at 5. I'll now open the floor for questions.
Is the Right Mind Show funny at all?
No comment. Next question. You, different reporter with the same voice.
Your co-host is very cute.
Not a question. I've got time for one more.
Do you do any impressions on the Right Mind Show?
Yeah, absolutely. Here's Joe Biden getting out of bed.
The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter, Saturday afternoons at 5 on News Talk STL.
Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta, now open in the district of Chesterfield Valley. Napoli has the only coal-fired pizza oven. That means an incredible taste you cannot get anywhere else. So enjoy a unique pizza at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the district. And then walk a few doors down and enjoy premium cigars and drinks at Lit Cigar Lounge. There's a perfect way to end the evening. Napoli Pizza followed by Lit Cigar Lounge. A winning combination.
This is News Talk STL.
Run, 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 little railroad. When their backs are turned. Run, 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 little railroad. When their backs are turned.
Run, 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 little railroad.
Get out of their sight.
When the engine turns, then you gotta move on. And you
gotta move on at night.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back, and joining us is Dr. Rick Lehman, head of the U.S. Center for Sports Medicine, founder of it in the St. Louis area. Dr. Lehman, glad to have you with us again. Hello, Doc. Can you hear us? Well, I thought we had you connected. We'll try it again.
Larry, can you?
Oh, there you are. Now we got you. Okay. We're all good now.
Good.
I should point out to the audience, as always, try to remain fully transparent. Dr. Lehman, Rick, as I often call him, we're longtime friends, and he is my physician for numerous reasons, for different things, so I want to make that very clear to the audience. I was wanting you to join us because, and I have a special concern because I have two teenage grandsons. One was in football, one is and now has to be out because of a rotator cuff issue. And then I have another one in Florida who just started playing. He's 14 years old, and he's going to be fast, should be on the defensive end position, but they've got him in the center of the line going up against a 200-pound lineman and so forth. So I'm thinking, what is a coach thinking? But the bottom line is, obviously, I worry about head injuries. And a story just broke the other day that another middle school football player died from head injuries, this time during practice.
Well, you know, there's a couple of things very clear. One, football is a dangerous sport at every level. At the pro level, we talk about CTE, but we have significant injuries. And at the lower level, we have head injuries. And there's probably about 25 to 30 deaths every year in middle school football. No one ever talks about it.
25 to 30?
Every year, every year, every year. So there's been six in the last week. So, of course, or seven in the last week now. So this has triggered you know, the media, and these articles have been fast and furious. But the truth of the matter is heat stroke, concussion, head injuries, brain bleeds, etc., are not common because there's a lot of football, but they happen on a continuous basis every year. And again, as long as someone's going to run into you with a football helmet, or your head's going to get smashed by another helmet, or you're going to hit the turf. You know, these things are going to happen, and it's just math. Certain kids are going to get killed.
You know, I grew up in Texas where football is the sport, and I played not that much. I wasn't that good, and I was telling one of my grandsons, I really wish you wouldn't play football. He said, didn't you tell me you rode bulls when you were a teenager? I said, yeah. I said, yeah, just because I'm stupid doesn't mean you should be. But what are we doing about the safety of the helmets? I mean, there's talk about some kind of foam padding. It would be put over the outside of the helmet as opposed to what they already have inside. Would that be sufficient or not?
Well, I think there's three ways you could fix this. One is you could take the helmets off, which would solve a lot of problems.
Whoa. Well, now they're fully exposed. What do you mean, play without helmets?
Because you're not going to run your head into somebody else's head. The game would completely change, just like rugby, because, you know, your head's exposed, and you're not going to run your head into somebody else's head. You're going to block with your arms and tackle with your arms. The second option is to try to make the helmets better, which we have been doing now for 30 years, and they are better. There's no question they're better. And the third is to change the rules, which no one wants to change. So to make it flag football or less contact, why do you watch football? You watch football if you're from Texas because it's a contact sport, you know, and it's violent. And that's the best part of the game. What do we love? We love the big hit.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I mean, and, you know, same thing for cage wrestling. I mean, they're being punched repeatedly in the face. This is far beyond the bounds of just boxing. And you know there's got to be head injuries that are going to be showing up at some point in the future.
Absolutely. And MMA is the worst offender. You know, you're laying on the ground and the guy is punching you with basically his bare fist, a little bit of a glove on the back of your head repeatedly. And this can go on for three rounds and in a title match, five rounds. And again, we're going to see the sequelae of this. This isn't free. Just like NFL football isn't free. Now it's come to light, you know, with concussion, the movie, et cetera, et cetera. And all these horrible deaths, and 98% of the athletes have CTE. But Larry, you think that if you're a pro football player and 98% have CTE at the age of 16 or 17, if you play 3-4 years of football, there's some percentage that are going to have CTE. We don't know it yet, but we will know it, and you know that's going to be a fact.
Well, my grandson down in Florida, his father played. I think he might have played pro briefly for the Bears. I know he was a big star at the University of Miami. In fact, roomed with The Rock, so he's all about football and really getting into it, and he's excited to see his son out there doing that. But at the same time, I'm not sure that he hasn't possibly suffered some damage in the past that's slowly catching up to him. What do you tell your kids if they want to play football? Yours are grown, mine are grown, but I've got grandchildren.
Well, I'm going down the same route. So I think there's a method, and one method is, look, if you are that talented and you have a crack at playing D1 football, which that's a small percentage, you know, my little slow children are not going to play D1 football, not going to happen, then you should play. So these kids that come in that are just unbelievable talented, the Andrew Lucks of the world, these great talented kids, they should play college football, and if they have a crack, play pro football. I think if you're just going to be fodder to play high school football, you have no chance of playing further than that, you're a bright kid and you have other alternative sources, you shouldn't play football. There's a million great sports. Play golf, play tennis, run track, you know, even lacrosse, play basketball. There's a million great sports.
All right, and since you're talking about other sports, what about hockey? They're helmets and you're on the ice. That's a hard surface.
Well, hockey's right there with football and wrestling's right there with football. So there's three or four contact sports that are very dangerous, and there's, you know, whatever, 25 non-contact sports, swimming, we could go on all day, that are non-contact sports that are very competitive. And if you're a talented athlete, you know, if you're 6'4 and you're a talented athlete, you probably have a pretty good shot at getting a D1 volleyball scholarship. And let me tell you how many golf scholarships out there that go unused. So there's a lot of ways to play sports.
I want to turn the page on something else briefly, and that is a piece reported as by The Hill, and of course it's a left-leaning publication, that as summer 2024 draws to a close, we're once again facing a surge in COVID-19 infections, and we might have to return to 2020 pandemic measures just before the election.
Well, first of all, this is political garbage. Number two, the thing that no one wants to, and the numbers are up a little bit, that's correct, but what they're telling you is that the virology is low. These are not virulent strains. People are not dying. Yes, a number of people are getting COVID, a number of people are getting the flu, etc. So again, this is not an issue. And if we learned anything from 2020, what is it? One, we shouldn't close the schools. Two, we shouldn't close the businesses. Three, the people that are sick should stay home. And four, and maybe most importantly, you know, get your vaccine, your two vaccines, and then cut. No more vaccines. So again, the numbers are up a little bit. The media is going to present it as a disaster. But no one, you know, hospitalizations are not up. Deaths are not up. ER visits are not up. Nothing else is up. But, you know, yes, positive, and that's going to ebb and flow. You know, that's going to come and go just like the influenza A and B.
Now, the other part of that is that while it will ebb and flow, there will be one case here and there, and someone will decide in their area, their district, whatever control they have, is that they will go back to 2020 pandemic controls.
Okay, well, look at, and you know, this has been studied and studied. So Florida, one end of the spectrum, California, the other end of the spectrum, the most severe. And what do you find out? They had the same number of deaths. Well, actually, Florida did better. You had fewer cases, population percentage-wise, fewer deaths. The schools didn't close. The restaurants, for intent and purpose, didn't close. And the outcomes were essentially the same. Florida did a little bit better. But two outdoor climates. So, again, yes, there's always going to be some politician that's going to try to make this a platform for themselves and close all the schools. And you know what the damage we did in those 2 years to those kids that didn't go to school? That's immeasurable.
Yeah.
The damage done to those children, they will never get that back. The learning loss, the language skills loss, the math skills loss are irretrievable.
I fully agree.
Be paying for that for 20 years.
I fully
50
agree.
Years.
One last question along this line. What about, they say, oh, well, we've got a new COVID vaccine you should take to make sure you don't get one of these mutants.
Nicole, buy stock in Eli Lilly, but I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think at this point you need any more vaccines. You don't need any more. You know what? That's wrong. You need a vaccine if you're compromised. If you're medically compromised or you're autoimmune compromised, you're elderly, you've been on cancer drugs, you're a severe diabetic, you have some type of respiratory, you should get the vaccine. But if you're, you know, Rick Lehman, pretty healthy, you've had a bunch of vaccines, you haven't been sick, you're not on drugs, you're not cancer, hopefully, then I don't see it. And for young people, you know, we were going back down to 6 years old for a while.
Right.
So, again, this is beyond insane.
All right. Well, Dr. Rick Lehman, I appreciate your time, and I certainly wish you a great Labor Day weekend. And thanks for spending time with us.
Larry, have a great weekend, and let's talk soon.
Yes, sir. Rick Lehman, U.S. Center for Sports Medicine, based in Kirkwood. Coming up, I had mentioned earlier, there's some other details of the Harris-Walz interview last night that stand out as kind of strange. I want to spend some moments on that when we continue. So you don't want to go anywhere. Please stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
John Beal knows that new roofing companies can look big and trustworthy on the internet, but the fact is 96% of new roofing companies go out of business within the first 5 years. John Beal has a reputation for excellence, reliability, plus lowest cost, best roof, best guarantee. Those here today, gone tomorrow roofers, they can't match John Beal. For home or business, trust my friend John. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Loyalty means a lot at J. Ackerman Toyota. That's why during COVID, Ackerman refused to charge over sticker price, while others did. Ackerman stayed true to their customers, selling at or below manufacturer-suggested prices. Ackerman will get you what you want, and the service department has the same spirit. You come first. And thank you for making Ackerman Toyota number one in 2023. Ackerman Toyota, AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
If you like premium cigars and spirits, take my advice. Check out Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. The Lit Cigar owners just got back from a major convention in Vegas, and now every day, Lit is getting shipments of special cigars that will certainly amaze you. Check the Lit Cigar Facebook, staying on top of special events. Also, Lit can host a private event for you, your friends, your business. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So the interview last night between Harris and Walz with CNN and NN's Dana Bash, you need to make your own decision as to what you thought of it, if you saw it, watched it, or heard clips of it. I will tell you this, even though I'm trying to give you some balanced clips that show her answering questions effectively and even praising CNN, Dana Bash for even asking them. I have faulted her for not following up. But, again, this was a taped interview, so I don't know that she didn't follow up and it got cut out. I don't know. But, as always, I don't want a lot of sheep following me around, so do your own inquiry and investigation and make your own decision about it. I don't think it accomplished that much. I know they had been claiming lately, listen, all the news organizations, they're the ones more concerned about when she's going to do a new sit-down interview, not the public. Well, I disagree with that. I think the public does need to hear from her. The way it was put together last night and how it was done, I still don't like it. She needs to be grilled. I don't mean just lightly touched with questions, even though they're legit questions. Just to ask it and then move on doesn't accomplish what you should be doing. I mean, the stolen valor issue, Dana Bash did bring up, but she didn't bring it up in those words, but asking Minnesota Governor Walz, the pick that Harris made for her VP, you mentioned being in combat when you were never in combat. He said, well, I was talking about, you know, we'd had a kid in a shooting and we're talking about that in general. I said, we shouldn't allow weapons that I carried to war being used by kids. And he said, I have bad grammar. I have bad grammar. My wife has always told me I do. So what he is saying is I lied about my military service and being in war because of bad grammar. Is that an answer? Does that satisfy you? You're pretty easy to fool. I know most of you are yelling, not me, Larry, not me. And then we have the other issue that got brought up, but again, I have to give Dana credit for asking the question about how Harris found out that Biden was dropping out and she even asked him, what were your thoughts? She said, well, my concern was for him. We played a portion of that for you earlier. But she didn't press and say, well, did you not immediately see an opportunity for you and what you could be doing, even if it's going to be puffing her up, saying what you could do for the nation and the world? She didn't do that from what we saw. That was not edited, I assume. But it was the first interview she had held in 39 days when she had become the presumptive nominee. Harris did at one point also talk a bit about the private calls with Biden, but I didn't get a complete full answer either when it came to, you've watched Biden go down this dark and dark road for weeks, months, maybe the last 2+ years, and you continued to lie to the American people, and that's why I would have asked it. And you were lying to the American people saying he's just fine. Now, she could counter me and say, well, I wouldn't say I was lying. Well, then I would say, were you being truthful? Were you being fully factual? Those are the points, I think, where Dana was one of the most friendly interviewers she could have had. You don't go into interviews necessarily looking to decapitate someone, but you want good, solid answers, and you want an engaging interview. This was pretty well scripted in many ways. And again, I have no way of knowing what they cut out before they presented it. But the setting itself, and I mentioned this earlier, I want to share with you how it was viewed by Breitbart. Now, Breitbart is a conservative, not leaning conservative. It is locked down conservative. Some would say it's far right, but they're one of their columnists who writes a lot for them, Nolte, took his view of what this setting looked like as they were doing it in this restaurant, a black-owned restaurant, obviously promoting her in Atlanta, which is fine. But John Nolte, here's the way he described the setting for the interview, and I think he nailed a lot of these points. One in particular stands out, because I'd already told you about how weak and frail Harris looked next to her vice president. Nolte points out it was a bizarrely dark location. Yep. A messy location with scattered coffee cups. Honestly, I didn't even see them. Kamala in a gray suit in a dark location. Kamala's stolen valor support liar, Tim Walz, towering over Kamala, who looks like a child. And that's the way John wrote it, but pretty much what I was stating. CNN, LOL's Dana Bash, towers over Kamala. Yeah, she's a thin, frail woman, and she looked like she was stronger and more fortified than Kamala. Kamala is furthest from the camera and looks like she brought her dad to a job interview. That's pretty good. Kamala looks thinner than she is, as if she is barely able to get her elbows on the table. Simply not presidential. Tim Walz looks like a lawyer or chaperone. And then this line stood out. Again, this is John Nolte from Breitbart, conservative. I don't try to hide anything from you. Kamala looks like a little kid at the grown-up table. That's exactly, I think, great. And he's talking about, he goes on in his article at Breitbart to talk about the way things looked and how they were expecting and what they did or did not get out of it. They all felt it was going to be a softball interview. The questions were asked. I stated this earlier in the beginning of the program today. What I called fire for effect, a term used in the military and other units in the military, not just the Marines, but also in police and in general cases of when you're involved in a combat or you're trying to set a range for a rifle or whatever. Fire for effect. You fire a shot, see where it hit, how close was it for the target. Now you've got a better idea how to zero in a little closer. So what I saw her doing was that and not really going in for the death shot, or that's a poor term to use, reference a presidential candidate, but going in for the shot that hits her hard and makes her reconsider all of her pre-plotted monologue answers she's going to walk into. And Nick Nolte says, my expectations were Kamala would knock this softball interview out of the park. Left-wing news outlet, check. Left-wing interviewer who is totally sympathetic, check. 6 weeks to prepare, check. Aware of the high stakes, check. Team Obama prepping her, check. And he adds, Kamala is not dumb. Her problem is twofold. She has not thought through her policies because she's only interested in saying what will get her elected. And she folds under pressure. That one remark reminds me of something I heard the other day from a black pastor, Democrat, but say, I'm going to vote for Trump. He said, listen, when Putin comes into the room, I don't want Kamala there. I want Donald Trump in the room when Putin comes in. He wants that show of strength. It's not an issue of masculinity. It's not an item of trying to be sexist. It's a matter of I want him to feel I'm meeting a man of strength. And when you look at some of the lady leaders we've had around the world of various nations, they have shown that you don't have to be in the boys' bathroom or claiming you have reason to be because you're a different sex. It's a matter of, do you have any gravitas? Do you carry any weight that says you know what you're doing and you're in charge? But Kamala has been kind of flip-flopping here and there, right? Coming up, there are a couple things I want to share with you. One, if going after all the sexual escapades of Trump has been fair game, now that Kamala is definitely going to be their nominee, which we know, why are we not going after all of her sexual escapades and making them more public? I'll deal with that, but first, I want to repeat something we had in the beginning of the hour, how Donald Trump says with all the flip-flopping she's been doing, we should give her a gift.
So, Kamala was for defunding the police. She was for open borders. She was for everything that you're not against. I could go through 14 different. She's changed on every single one of them. In fact, I think we should make, see the man in the red hat and the beautiful woman in the red hat says, make America great again. Perhaps we should give Kamala a make America great again hat, right?
I do. I would love to see her wearing one. I'm sure somebody will put it together in a Photoshop operation. That'd be great. All right, so from the Federalist, Mark Hemingway wrote a piece, basically, if Donald Trump's sex life is fair game for the election, so is Kamala Harris's. I've been wondering about that same point. I'm glad he brought it up as well. He said, you don't get to insist Donald Trump's private affairs are a criminal matter, Stormy Daniel. Oh, yes, okay, we have a pay-for-play, literally, and a non-disclosure agreement, and where did the money come from and all that, but they're really trying to paint him as sleazy and everything else, and that he's a womanizer. Okay, but he said you can't do that while being silent about the corrupt relationships of Kamala Harris, the Clintons, and so many others. Let me share this article again from The Federalist by Mark Hemingway. Pundit and talk radio show host Eric Erickson recently went on a rant about how both parties have nominated terrible candidates whose supporters have decided to behave terribly to bully people into supporting their terrible candidate. He said Erickson made it known he's still inclined to vote for Trump, but you'd think any prominent right-wing pundit who publicly expresses doubt about Trump 2 months before the election would be chalked up as a win for Kamala supporters. And then he adds, but then there's the Lennis wing of Never Trump, Sarah Longwell, publisher of The Bulwark, a site largely run by, as he describes them, fraudulent conservatives funded by left-wing billionaires to help Democrats win elections, He said, I think that's really what was not liked. He said, setting aside the imagery and some of the things that might have been pointed out, he said, I have covered, again, this is Hemingway for the Federalist, I have covered Kamala Harris's relationship history more extensively before, but here's a summary of the facts as we know them. When she was a subordinate in the San Francisco DA's office, she started dating Willie Brown, the most powerful man in California politics, 31 years older and married. These are all facts. These are not something been recreated. It's history Kamala wants to move past. Let's just focus on Trump and his escapades. The article continues, after the current DA passed over Kamala Harris, a woman who failed the bar exam, she did end up passing it, but she first failed it. So she did fail it. And is not exactly known for her mastery of the law, Willie Brown was instrumental in alienating the existing DA and personally involved in raising money and running a successful campaign for Harris to be elected district attorney. Once in office, she let a number of Willie Brown's friends, letting them off the hook when they were facing serious charges. And it all started because she had this friends with mutual benefits relationship with Willie Brown, who was married again at the time, 31 years her senior. Age difference, I could care less about, if that's what the couple wants. But the fact that he was also using her once she became DA to help protect friends, and the fact that he was married, we have that. We have certainly seen that with Bill Clinton. And yet he's still being lionized and brought forward at the Democrat National Convention, and they all crowd around him to get pictures and smiling with him. I have never interviewed Clinton. I'm running a commentary or had throughout this day about the Reagan movie coming out and presidents I've interviewed. Clinton is not one of them. And I've often thought if I had a chance to interview him, yes, I'd take it. But I'm not sure, and this was the thing that was really bothering me, do I shake his hand before we begin the interview if I'm offered a chance to? I detest what the man did. I am also a sinner. But I'm detesting what he did inside the White House, outside the Oval Office. But many Democrats have seemed to have forgotten that and move on, unless it's Trump. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.